KPU News time now is 8:05. We're back. First time in the South. Jason Taylor here with State Senator Brad Hawkins. And we're doing this every week with the state senators on Thursday and the representatives of the 7th and the 12th on Fridays. And today we've got 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us. Good morning, Brad. How are you doing from Olympia right now?
Good morning, Jason. It's great to be with you. Doing pretty well in Olympia, kind of starting to wrap up the first week of the legislative session. It's been raining pretty much every day over here, so that's kind of what I expected.
Here, actually, the lower elevations, we have rain right now and snow in the upper elevations. My kind of chaos for a drive-in this morning. But let's get to it and get down to what we're talking about right now. I think we want to talk about how the redistricting, the redrawing of the legislative map here has changed the 12th district. Kind of go into that for us a little bit.
Yeah, well, the redistricting process occurs every 10 years based on the U.S. Census data, and the process is basically designed so that each of the 49 different Washington state legislative districts represent approximately the same number of residents. So when I take a vote in my district in the 12th, it represents the same as someone from downtown Seattle in that district. But it did have to change significantly. The population growth was significant in Western Washington during the census, not as much in Central and Eastern Washington. So those Central and Eastern Washington districts had to essentially expand geographically to pick up population, and it nudged the 12th district over. So now the 12th district includes the city of East Wenatchee, all of Chelan County, a portion of Snohomish County across the Cascades, including the Highway 2 communities, Sultan, Gold Bar, and some of those communities, as well as the city of Monroe, and then also a portion of King County, primarily the city of North Bend, the city of Carnation, and some unincorporated rural eastern King County. So it's a totally new district, and not only am I representing a new district, but all of the legislators that have been elected for this legislature are representing their new districts as well. Some districts, like the 12th, have changed significantly more than other districts, but not only are there a lot of new legislators this year, but for the next 10 years, all of the legislators elected will be representing these newly configured legislative districts.
And of course, this one we're talking about here, the 12th, making the one of the biggest moves of any of the districts. Okay, now let's talk about, you've got committee assignments for this term, with this legislative session. What are you going to be assigned to?
Well, I have two of the same committees that I've been assigned to previously, plus I swapped out the third committee. My primary committee is early learning and K-12 education. I am the ranking Republican member of that committee. In fact, I'm the only Senate Republican with kids in school. but I was a former school board member. I served for 10 years on two different local school boards, the North Central Educational Service District and the Eastmont School District, prior to getting elected to the legislature. My wife's a teacher for Wenatchee School District. I have two boys at Sterling Junior High in East Wenatchee. So I have a vested interest in our K-12 system, and I'm excited to continue to serve as the ranking Republican member. I work closely with the chair of the committee on issues, and we have a lot of issues in education with the COVID pandemic, with learning loss, trying to get kids caught up. There's a lot of social emotional challenges for youth, a lot of mental health issues that they're struggling with, and really just trying to get back on track with academics across the whole K-12 system. Wow. So big issues there. I also serve on the Higher Education Committee, which is new to me this year, adding on to the K-12 system. It's kind of a continuation. So I'm excited to think about our education system as a K-20 system. And then also transportation. I'll continue to serve on the Transportation Committee. As you know, Jason, we just recently passed a large transportation investment package that included funding that the Confluence Parkway project would be eligible for. There's a lot still to be sorted out with that, so I'm excited to serve on transportation and help in that process, as well as help address some of the new priorities in the new areas of the district. There's a lot of challenges on Highway 2, and in other areas of the new 12th district. Yeah. So I'm excited to serve on transportation again this session.
Well, I've heard people describe US 2, and maybe it was during one of those hearings that you were part of, and you got some of the funding for Leavenworth, that underpass there, that was part of that. But yeah. some of the heavy traffic on the other side of the pass there, of Stevens Pass, some of those during weekends, during heavy traffic, they're just, you can't get through, apparently.
Yeah, there's some major slowdowns, especially around the city of Sultan.
Yeah.
Me and that my 12th District House colleagues have been working with the city of Sultan officials. And really, Highway 2 is essentially becoming a statewide challenge because you have so much population growth still occurring in Western Washington and so many awesome recreational opportunities in Central and Eastern Washington. So especially on the weekends, on the holidays, there are significant traffic flow and safety concerns. And in some portions of Highway 2, you can't really add capacity, yet our state is growing. We have a lot of drivers. And it's not really an issue where transit and some of these other policy priorities in the legislature among the majority party here can really address, because you're talking about people with driving over on their cars with kayaks strapped on the top, people in their RVs, and also when I-90 is closed, and it is, as you've reported on KPQ, occasionally the passes get closed on I-90, well then Highway 2, you know, sees a lot of additional traffic. So we have some major challenges on Highway 2, and it'll need to be addressed over for as long as I serve in the legislature. It'll be something I'll be working on.
Let's talk about something statewide now. We had the governor's State of the State happening. Of course, he's really focused on selling bonds to come up with money, big portions, big money here, billions of dollars, to build some housing, because we have the homeless problem and we have underhousing for the state. How do you feel about that whole thing?
Well, I'm going to try to stay open-minded about what the governor proposed, but we do it because we do have major housing challenges in our state, and I worked on a housing bill last legislative session. Yeah. And got it to the governor's desk and he signed it. However, you know, the housing challenges in our state are not the same in every community. And so in the Western Washington portion of the state, and in particularly the urban areas, they really struggle with homelessness. And while we certainly have our challenges with homelessness in our area, as the KPQ listeners know, a lot of our challenges aren't necessarily lifting people out of homelessness. It's really dealing with the workforce. So places like Leavenworth, Chelan, even the Wenatchee Valley, how do we keep the people who are providing these services in the communities, how can we help them live in those communities? So it's a little bit a different issue. And then the governor wants to, you know, propose to spend almost over $70 billion in this budget to address this issue plus everything else. I really think we should make housing more of a priority with our current revenues rather than, you know, trying to have the state go into more debt to address it. But I think we need to kind of stay open-minded about it, but those are the discussions that we need to have, and we can't necessarily have kind of a one-size approach to housing because the challenges are different in different regions. Yeah. And in different communities.
To be specific about that, the governor talking about selling bonds, which is basically taking out a loan, that would be the debt right there, and
right.
We'd have lots of money coming into the coffers of the state, and you're proposing, you would like to see using the money we already have, I guess is what you're saying now, to address that issue.
We need to try, if these things are truly priorities of the state, we need to fund them with the first dollar,
yeah,
not the last dime. And the state budget has significantly increased, so some of these challenges, Governor Inslee, while this is not necessarily his fault, I mean, he's been in office all this time, so if he's calling it a crisis, you know, we have to look at, you know, where have we been and what have we spent money on the last 10 years. The state budget, for example, Jason, the state budget was $33 billion 10 years ago. It's currently $64 billion, and the governor's proposing a $70.4 billion budget. So to go from $33 billion to $70.4 billion in 10 years, and exhaust all of the reserves in the state of Washington is is an issue, you know, I do have concern about. We need to make sure that we have an adequate reserve account in our state to weather any economic downturn in the future. So this budget is not just about the budget for this two-year period, but we have to be prudent about expenditures of taxpayers' dollars to make sure we build a budget that can be sustainable over the next 4 years and 6 years, especially if our economy starts to flatten out.
Now, we are talking about a budget now from 2022 and covers 2023 as well, correct?
The current budget is 2021 to 2023. The budgets that we're considering for the upcoming biennium are for the 2023 to 2025 two-year period. And it's not just the operating budget. The legislature will also be approving transportation and capital budget. So we have three state budgets for the next 2 years.
Right. Okay. Now let's talk about the bomb that was dropped by the Supreme Court from the state. They struck down the state's felony drug possession law. So the legislature had to quickly react, and they came up with a stopping gap measure. Basically makes it misdemeanor treatment before going to charges on that. Third time, I guess, you could get charged. There's going to be more attention towards dealing with that issue. What do you want to see happen there?
Yeah, no doubt. So you're referencing the 2021 State Supreme Court Blake decision.
Yes.
It was a decision that struck down our state's felony drug possession law. There are a variety of different opinions in the legislature on both sides of the aisle on this issue. The legislature approved a short-term fix that sunsets, I believe, in July of 2023. And we did elevate we classified it as a misdemeanor for drug possession. I think one option is to bump that up to a gross misdemeanor, or to try to kind of prove that people, you know, if they're knowingly possessing drugs, then, you know, they get a harsher punishment. But the therapeutic courts, also known as the drug courts, have been very successful for many people, and that's been the case in Chelan County. So I think there is a good role that we can play as a legislature to support our therapeutic court system. But for some people, that's not going to work, and I think the legal system, the justice system, still needs to retain some options. Ultimately, what's most important is that people get the help that they need.
Yeah. Okay. And one more topic before we wrap it up here. I'd like to talk about, because we had the policing laws that came into effect and lots of controversy about that and the difference between, the two terms they use there, which are evading me right now. It's probable cause or
reasonable suspicion.
Reasonable suspicion right now. And there was an effort to get back to reasonable suspicion here in some of the language about the policing laws. This is for pursuits, etc. It didn't get there last year. I saw it was mentioned, and even in some of these committees, led by Democrats, of course, but it kind of disappeared, the change of the language there. So where is that right now?
Yeah, well, we changed the legislature changed the language, I think, two years ago or so, and made a whole host of sweeping police reform changes. I did not support those. And since then, a lot of communities and law enforcement stakeholders have expressed concerns about their lack of ability to pursue. We've tried to make some changes. I was hoping there'd be more of a balance of power in this legislature, and we'd be able to make some of those changes this session. But I still am skeptical that we will see any progress there, because the legislative makeup for the next 2 years is approximately the same as the legislative makeup of the prior 2 years when those police reforms were originally approved. My hope is that some of those key legislators, some of which have you've interviewed on KPQ, some of those key sponsors of the bills will have heard from the communities, will have heard from law enforcement entities all across the state, and would be willing this year to make some modest adjustments to those to give our law enforcement officials some clarity.
So what we hear is it's really getting that language to reasonable suspicion back down to that level, though, as far as the language goes.
Yeah, to go back from probable cause to reasonable suspicion, back to what the law originally was.
Right. Okay, we've got to wrap it up right now, but State Senator Brad Hawkins will be back talking to you probably in 2 weeks again. Thanks for the maiden voyage of what we're doing this year with 15 minutes at the top of the hour, the 8 o'clock hour for our legislators. Have yourself a great day, and we will be actually monitoring you for your bill in committee, the 5001, about the aquatic centers coming up at 10:30, I think, this morning, right?
That's right, 10:30 today.
Right.
And I look forward to being on with you in the future. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, thank you, Senator Brad Hawkins. KPU News Time is 8:20.